Here's your fair value brief for Wednesday, July 15, 2026. Oil surge is testing the Fed's patience this morning. Brent crude has jumped 9.5% this week to $85.44. Gasoline futures are up 8.9%, and tensions in the Strait of Hormuz are escalating fast. All eyes are on today's PPI report. If it comes in above 0.3%, the Fed may have no choice but to address inflation head-on or risk losing credibility. PayPal stock is soaring, up 12% in pre-market trading, after reports that Stripe and private equity firm Advent International are in talks to buy the company for $53 billion. But if those talks collapse, those gains could vanish just as quickly. It's another sign that private equity sees value in undervalued tech. And here's the contradiction no one's talking about. Banks are reporting strong earnings, but credit card delinquencies just hit a 15-year high. The strain is building for consumers. Wall Street just hasn't felt it yet. Now, to the big story. Oil and the PPI report are putting the Fed in a tight spot. Brent crude is up 9.5% this week to $85.44. Gasoline futures have climbed 8.9%, and attacks in the Strait of Hormuz are getting worse. All of this just as the producer price index report drops at 8:30 this morning. The numbers will tell us whether the Fed can stay on hold or if it has to step back into the inflation fight. Here's why this PPI report matters more than usual. PPI tracks the cost of raw materials, steel, diesel, plastics, all the things that eventually show up in consumer prices. Economists expect a flat reading for the headline number, 0%, and a 0.3% increase for the core. But if it comes in higher, that means oil spike is already working its way through the economy, undermining the Fed's decision to pause in June. And then there's Hormuz. Iran's attacks on what they call shuttle runs, small, frequent tanker trips, have basically shut down the strait, disrupting about 20% of global LNG flows. The U.S. just reinstated a 20% transit fee on Monday. Iran responded with more strikes. Gasoline futures are up 8.9% this week, and shipping insurance costs have skyrocketed, 16 times higher than normal. So what happens if PPI surprises to the upside? A few things. The 2-year Treasury yield, currently at 4.26%, could jump toward 4.5%, pushing mortgage rates back above 7%. The dollar, already up 1.3% this month, would likely get even stronger, making imports more expensive. And stock futures? They're up just 0.2% pre-market right now, but a hot PPI number could wipe that out fast, especially for rate-sensitive tech stocks. Bottom line, today's PPI isn't just another economic report. It's a test of the Fed's credibility. If inflation is spreading through energy prices, the central bank may have to act, no matter what it means for growth. Keep an eye on the 10-year yield. It's at 4.62 right now. If it moves above 4.75, that's bonds telling us the Fed might have miscalculated. Now, here's what's happening today. Markets are stuck in a holding pattern ahead of that PPI report. Oil shocks and Fed expectations are pulling in opposite directions. Brent crude is hovering near $86. Gasoline futures are surging, and traders are just waiting for the data that could reshape the Fed's path. Stocks are clinging to slim gains. The S&P 500 dipped 0.8% yesterday, but futures are up 0.2% today. The split is clear. Semiconductors are struggling. Nvidia's down 3.5%, AMD 4.2%, Marvel 7.8%, while energy and software are advancing. Exxon's up 4%, Chevron 3.3%, Salesforce 4.8%. This is classic late-cycle positioning. Money's moving out of high-beta tech and into cash-rich, dividend-paying sectors. Bonds, meanwhile, are flashing recession warnings. The 10-year Treasury yield is holding at 4.62%, but the curve is flattening fast. The spread between the 10-year and the 2-year is now just 0.4 percentage points. Bonds are basically asking, can growth hold up if the Fed keeps rates this high? PayPal's potential $53 billion deal is the other big mover today. Shares are up 12% pre-market after reports that Stripe and Advent International made an offer. Private equity is betting on a turnaround, but if these talks fall apart, the stock could drop just as fast as it rose. And the Hormuz crisis? It's getting worse. The strait is effectively closed, with Iran targeting those small tanker runs and the U.S. threatening port blockades. Oil traders are now pricing in a $5 to $10 per barrel war premium, but the real issue is logistics. LNG prices are climbing as Qatar's exports face delays. Key events to watch today. At 8:30, we get the PPI report. A core reading above 0.3% could trigger a bond sell-off, a stronger dollar, and a drop in stocks. At 10, the Bank of Canada makes its rate decision. If they sound hawkish, it could influence U.S. rate expectations. Also at 10, Fed Chair Warsh testifies. If he mentions oil or geopolitical risks, markets will not like it. PayPal's trading at $52.50 pre-market, up 12%. If the deal falls through, expect a sharp reversal. Energy stocks like Exxon, Chevron, and EOG are up 3 to 4% this week. If oil keeps climbing, they could keep rising. And semiconductors? Nvidia, AMD, Marvel, they're all down 4 to 8% this week. If this weakness persists, it could drag the Nasdaq down with it. Now, the big picture. Stocks and bonds are telling two very different stories. Only one can be right. The S&P 500 is up 0.6% for the month, but the 10-year Treasury yield is at 4.62%, up from 4.3% in early June. And the yield curve is flattening to levels that have preceded every recession since 1955. Stocks are pricing in a soft landing. Bonds are pricing in a hard one. This disconnect can't last. Here's another warning sign. Oil's in backwardation. Brent crude's up 9.5% this week to $85.44, WTI to $80.09. But the real red flag is in the futures curve. Normally, oil trades in contango. Later months are cheaper when supplies are plentiful. Right now, it's in backwardation, meaning near-term contracts cost more because traders are worried about immediate shortages. This isn't speculation, it's a physical squeeze. The dollar's another piece of the puzzle. The DXY index is at 109.92, up 1.3% this month. Geopolitical risks are overriding Tuesday's soft CPI report. A stronger dollar pressures multinationals and emerging markets, which makes the Fed's job even harder. Stocks are still holding up. The S&P's only down 0.8% this week, but the damage isn't even. The Nasdaq's fallen 1.9%, and the PHLX Semiconductor Index is down 4.7%. Traders are shifting out of high flyers and into energy and software, classic late-cycle moves. And that leaves the Fed in a tight spot. Markets are pricing in a 60% chance of a September rate cut, assuming inflation keeps cooling. But if today's PPI comes in hot, that bet could unravel fast. The Fed's June dot plot showed just 125 basis point cut this year. A hot PPI could erase even that. What does this mean for your finances? Mortgage rates are at 6.49% right now. A hot PPI could push them back to 7. High-yield savings accounts are paying around 5%. If you think the Fed's hiking cycle is over, now might be the time to lock in those rates. Gas prices are at $3.85 a gallon nationally. Oil above $85 could push that to $4 by August. And your 401k? The S&P's up 14% this year, but the Nasdaq's flat. If tech stays unstable, retirement accounts could stall. Now, let's look around the world. The Strait of Hormuz is still effectively closed. Iran's targeting those small shuttle tankers, and the U.S. reinstated a 20% transit fee on Monday. Iran responded with more attacks. Brent crude's at $85.44. Gasoline futures are up 8.9% this week, and shipping insurance costs have surged 16-fold. China's growth is slowing. Second quarter GDP expanded 4.3%, the weakest since 2022, as a slumping property sector and weak consumer spending offset strong exports. The yuan's trading at 6.76 per dollar, near its weakest level this year, and that's pressuring commodity demand and multinational revenues. Europe's energy pressures are building. The euro's up 0.3% today to 114.21, but the ECB's still fighting inflation. Core CPI's at 2.9%. The bigger threat? Energy. Natural gas futures climbed 0.5% this morning, and European gas storage is at 78% capacity, down from 85% a year ago. An early winter could reignite the energy crisis. And Japan's yen is still under pressure. It's trading at 162.36 per dollar, near decades low levels. as the Bank of Japan stays stuck with negative rates. That makes oil imports more expensive, squeezing Japanese consumers. Retail sales fell 1.2% in May, the largest drop in a year. Key developments to watch globally. At 10 this morning, the Bank of Canada's rate decision. If they sound hawkish, it could spill into U.S. rate expectations. China's stimulus. If property sales don't rebound, expect more easing and more downward pressure on the yuan. And LNG prices. Dutch TTF, Europe's gas benchmark, is up 35% since March. If it moves above 40 euros per megawatt hour, that'll boost energy stocks and European inflation. Now let's talk companies. PayPal's the big story. Shares jumped 12% pre-market on reports of a $53 billion takeover by Stripe and Advent International. If it goes through, it'd be the largest fintech deal since the pandemic and a big bet on PayPal's turnaround. Banks reported strong earnings this week. JP Morgan, Citigroup, Wells Fargo all looked solid. Jamie Dimon even said conditions are as good as it gets. But here's the catch. The data reflects the second quarter, before the latest oil surge and Hormuz closure. The real risk? Credit card delinquencies just hit a 15-year high. The charge-offs won't show up for another 6 to 9 months, but the strain is building. Semiconductors are extending their losses. Nvidia fell another 3.5% yesterday, AMD 4.2%, Marvel 7.8%. The sector's down 5.5% this week, for straight days of declines. Money's moving out of high-beta tech and into energy and software. Speaking of energy, Exxon's up 4% this week, Chevron 3.3%, EOG 4.1%. Energy's the only S&P sector in the green, up 3%, driven by oil and natural gas futures, which are up 0.5% this morning as Qatar's LNG exports face delays. Megacap tech, though, is holding steady. While semiconductors sink, the so-called Magnificent Seven are resilient. Meta's up 0.7% this week, Alphabet 1.1%, Microsoft 1.5%. The message? Traders are rotating into cash-rich, dividend-paying giants. ASML, the Dutch semiconductor equipment maker, raised its annual sales forecast again, second time this year, citing unrelenting demand for AI chips. The stock's up 7.9% this week. But the bigger takeaway is that TSMC, Samsung, and Intel are accelerating orders to meet surging AI demand. And Lucid, the EV maker, is struggling. They hired restructuring firm Alvarez and Marcel this week as they deal with weak sales and quality issues. The stock's down 16% this year, and cash burn is still a major concern. From Washington, all eyes are on Fed Chair Warsh's testimony at 10 this morning. Traders will be listening for one word, oil. The Fed's June pause assumed cooling CPI and a balanced labor market. But Brent crude's up 9.5% since then to $85.44, gasoline futures are up 8.9%, and Hormuz is still closed. If Warsh even hints at concern over oil-driven inflation, it could derail the stock rally. The Fed's silence is getting louder. June's FOMC minutes showed divisions over whether inflation's truly under control. The dot plot still projects just 125 basis point cut this year. But a hot PPI reading today could eliminate even that, leaving the Fed's data-dependent stance looking shaky. And don't forget, the U.S. hit its $31.4 trillion borrowing limit back in January. Treasury Secretary Yellen's been using extraordinary measures to avoid default, but those run out in early 2027. So get ready for another debt ceiling battle in Congress. What to watch today? At 10, Fed Chair Warsh testifies. Any mention of oil or geopolitical risks would weigh on stocks. And the PPI's ripple effect. If producer prices rise, the Fed may have to choose between fighting inflation and supporting markets. Now, here's something worth learning today. Your deposit isn't just sitting idle. It's the engine of the financial system. When you deposit money in a bank, it doesn't just sit there. Instead, it becomes the fuel for lending and the foundation of modern finance. Here's how it works and why it matters now. Fractional reserve banking means if you deposit $1,000, the bank holds just $100, 10%, as reserves, either as cash or at the Federal Reserve. The remaining $900? It gets lent out to homebuyers, businesses, or other banks overnight. So your $1,000 effectively becomes $1,900 in the economy. This is how banks create money, and why they're only as stable as depositors' confidence. But here's the fragility. This system works unless depositors demand their cash en masse. If 10% withdraw funds, the bank handles it. If 20% do, the bank fails. That's a bank run, and it's why the FDIC insures deposits up to $250,000 to prevent panic. Why does this matter today? Banks reported strong earnings this week, but their balance sheets are loaded with long-term, low-rate loans, like 30-year mortgages, while they're paying depositors 4-5% on savings. If the Fed keeps rates high, banks' profits get squeezed. If the Fed cuts, mortgage holders refinance, and banks lose income. Either way, the system's walking a tightrope, and your deposits are the safety net. Your takeaway: if your cash is in a major bank like JP Morgan or Bank of America, you're secure. If it's in a regional bank with heavy commercial real estate exposure, keep a close eye on their earnings. Now, here's what to watch this week. Today at 8:30, we get the June PPI report. The forecast is 0.3% for core PPI. If it comes in higher, the 2-year Treasury yield could spike and stocks could drop. Also at 8:30, the Bank of Canada's rate decision. They're expected to hold at 2.25%, but the statement could move markets if it's hawkish. At 10, Fed Chair Warsh testifies. One word about oil could shake things up. Thursday at 2 a.m., UK GDP data. Another weak print could push the Bank of England toward a rate cut. Thursday at 8:30, U.S. retail sales and jobless claims. Soft numbers would pressure consumer spending. And Friday at 10, we get the preliminary July consumer sentiment reading. A drop below 65 would amplify recession fears. That's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow with the fallout from PPI and what it means for the Fed's next move.